السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. الله العظيم، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable and respected elders and brothers, generally in this month of Rajab, there are discussions surrounding the Mi'raj of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are discussions with regards to Masjidul Aqsa and various discussions in this month, inshallah, with regards to the Mi'raj of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A dedicated program, inshallah, tonight will take place after the Maghrib Salah. However, what comes out of the Mi'raj is something that we will discuss. When we looked at all the ahkam, all the laws of the Shariat, whether it is pertaining to fasting, even jihad fi sabilillah, our zakat, our hajj, in the general sense, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that revelation took place on this earth and the command was given in this earth. But when we look at salat and namaz, then we will find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala called our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave this command of salat by way of a gift that Allah had bestowed upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah bestowed upon this entire ummah. Bear in mind that even before the Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were compelled to perform the tahajjud salat. So salat was always in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba and companions of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we turn the pages of the Quran Sharif, ulama have written that direct commands of salat, direct commands of namaz appear 67 times in the Quran. However, Allah makes reference to salat 99 times in the Quran Sharif. This is something that should give us an idea about the emphasis right from the very beginning of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterates this command of salat. Now when we look at the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we look at what is required from us with regards to salat, then we will find that they had a very special relationship with salat. Salat was part of their life. It was as though if there was no salat, then there was no life whatsoever. A very amazing incident or a question that was put to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahumullah, and he was one, and Abdullah ibn Mubarak was another. Very selected few ulama had an opinion with regards to salat and iman. A person once came to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, and the person asked him that if somebody left out salat in his life, what they would term, the fuqaha would term as tarikus salah, a person didn't perform salah. One is a person who feels that salah is not compulsory, a person who feels, who believes that salat is not fard, then all the ulama of this ummah are unanimous that such a person is out of the fold of Islam. Such a person is a kafir. But a tariqus salah will refer to that person who has no shari'i excuse whatsoever, and he is negligent of his salat, he does not perform his salat. So the person asked Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal that what should this man do? Should he make qaza of the salat? He said he doesn't need to make qaza of the salat. This man needs to recite the kalima and come back into the fold of Islam. Allah give us this reality. Allah give us this reality. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, as I said, he was one amongst the fuqaha, and Abdullah ibn Mubarak, very selected handful, but the general ummah will say that such a person, a tariqus salah, a person who is neglectful of his salat, has now embarked on a major sin. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah, he states that such a person should be imprisoned, imprisoned. And then when it is time for salat, he knows he's in prison in a Muslim country and he's not performed his salat. So now at least he will realize that life becomes constricted. He will start performing his salat. And then in that state, if he does not perform his salat, at the time of salat, the person will be lashed. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi and Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, both of them are of the opinion that such a person will be killed. Allah's ni'mat descends upon a human, upon a Muslim, and then he still does not want to perform salah and be thankful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So these were some of the rulings of the jurist of Islam. However, brothers and friends, when we look into the Quran Sharif, we will find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the one hand gives us the virtues of salah, and on the other hand, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has set the standard of salat. At the very beginning of Surah Mu'minun, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Certainly the believers had been successful. Success has been allotted to the believers. But one hallmark of the believer is that he is khashi'. In other words, he is sincere in his salat. His salat is dedicated to Allah. There is a great deal of concentration in his salat. Now, when we look at this aspect of the concentration of salat, then we will find that Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam, the father of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, once was performing his tahajjud salah, and on the side in front of him was Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam, at that time a little child, and he was asleep. And in his sleep, he groans. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is in his salah. And he moves his eyesight towards Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam. Just a glance. Any father would do that. But the rule of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, hasanatul abarar, sayyiatul muqarrabin, those close slaves and servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would take them to task for the slightest mishap, for the slightest oversight, for the slightest laxity. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala immediately revealed to Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, O Yaqub, that eye of yours that moved in the direction of Yusuf, the target of that glance, Yusuf alayhi salam, will become a reason of my test of your eyesight. And what do we see? Allah Ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran Sharif. وَبِيَضَّتَ عَيْنَاهُ. His eyes became white. In other words, it became blind. Obviously, Allah reinstated his eyesight. But this is that relationship that a person would have with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There is a very great Sahabi, Sayyidina Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His incident, on the one hand, is very intriguing. On the other hand, many lessons can be learned from this Sahabi. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say about Sayyidina Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he was the very first Sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we go through his life, he had many firsts. He was the first in many aspects of our deen. He was the first person to create the precedence of performing a 2-rakat salah before he became a shaheed for the sake of Allah. Sayyidina Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala, just to run through the incident very, very quickly. He was captured in the battle of Raji'a, and at the same time, a bounty on his head by the people of Makkah had already been placed, and his captors took him to Makkah and they sold him to the family of Haritha because he had killed Haritha in the battle of Badr. He's taken in as a prisoner. They pay the price and they take him as a prisoner. However, it is the month of Muharram. Now, very amazing were the Quraysh of Makkah. Everything else they did not believe in, but they believed in the sanctity, the hurmat, the importance of the month of Muharram, one of the Ashhurul Hurum, one of the sacred months. And hence they decided not to do anything with him, but to keep him as a prisoner. And they will deal with him when Muharram comes to an end. So the daughter of Haritha was killed in Badr. Zainab bint Haritha, she later became a Muslim. She was given the duty and responsibility to see to him insofar as his food is concerned. Sayyidina Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu receives the first plate of food, and in that there is meat. So he tells Zainab that I will not eat this meat because it is not halal for me. It has been slaughtered in the name of idols. So she herself, after she embraced Islam, she narrates this incident. Now I take food for him that did not have meat. But I was very amazed. I was very amazed that I saw in the room there were grapes as large as the human head. At that time in Makkah, in that season, there were no grapes, there were no fruit. But where did this come from? So I asked him. So he replies, Rabbi, huwa yut'imuni wa yasqini. My Rabb is that being who feeds me, and my Rabb is that being that gives me to drink. Such were Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The ulama write a little comment here that is of value to you and I, that look at him, he kept away from something that was haram. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had fed him something from Allah's side directly. We could refer to the incident of Sayyida Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was in her niche and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had sustained her with fruit out of season. قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. When Sayyidina Zakaria asked her, where did this come from? She said, it came from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nonetheless, now the month of Safar comes in, and now the Quraysh had decided that this man is going to be crucified. And incidentally, ulama have written, he was the first prisoner of this nature in Islam, and he was the first person to be crucified for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Islam. So they take him, and they take him out of the haram of Makkah. We all know the place, Tan'im, where Masjid Aisha is, where a person would don the ihram if he wants to make his umrah from Makkah Mukarrama. So they take him to Tan'im. And there, Tan'im, they set up the post so that he will be executed and he will be crucified. They ask him a simple question. One question that they asked, that it would have been better if Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, be in your position and you be freed of this difficulty? And his response was very, very simultaneous, very spontaneous. He said that I would not bear even a thorn prick, my Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At that, Abu Sufyan responded. Actually, this incident had also taken place with Zayd ibn Dasina radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he responded and he said, Ma ra'aytu ahadan minan nas yuhibbu ahadan min ashabi Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I had never seen any group of people love any person like the Sahaba had loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then they asked him, do you have any wish? Anything, any desire? Now at that time, what would a person desire? He's in Makkah Mukarramah, his family is in Madinah Munawwara. He says, I have the desire of performing 2 rakat salat. This was that relationship that Sahaba had with salat. That give me the opportunity to perform the 2 rakat salat. That is why, as mentioned earlier, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that he was the first person to initiate a 2 rakat salat before being executed. So they gave him the opportunity, they untied him, and he performed his 2 rakat salat. In that 2 rakat salat, he was very swift. He did not take the normal time that a sahabi would take, and he completed his 2 rakat salat. They asked him, you've hastened, you've accelerated. He replied, I did not want you to have the pleasure in your heart of the thought that I am afraid of death. And now again they tie him. A lot of torment, they tortured him to a great deal. And now this Sahabi is now leaving this world. He turns his eyes towards the sky and he addresses Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, these people that have assembled here, 40 of them, but none of them are worthy of taking my salam to my Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the one hand, the desire to meet Allah, now the thought in his heart that I am going to leave in this worldly life my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now the meeting will be of akhirat. So he asked and he makes dua to Allah ta'ala, oh Allah, balligh salami, oh Allah, take my salam and convey it to my Rasul, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator. We just switch over Madinah Munawwara. We are sitting in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That condition comes upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that would come upon him when wahi would come. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would begin to perspire. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go through what seemed to be a lot of physical pressure on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wa alayka salam ya Khubayb. So Sahaba are out of their minds. They ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what has happened. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to them that Khubayb was on the brinks of being executed and he sent the salam and Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam brings his salam to me. However, when they executed him and after he was crucified, they left his body and they went back to Makkah Mukarramah, the Quraysh. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent 2 sahaba, Sayyidina Miqdad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to Makkah Mukarramah on the secret mission that try and get the body of Sayyidina Khubayb radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and have him buried. So Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that a time had passed By the time we came to Makkah Mukarrama, by the time we located his body, but Allah is my witness that his body was as fresh as a living person. Ulama write, you see the two rakats of salat that he had performed, despite the fact that it was swift, despite the fact that it was not a lengthy salat, but that sincerity, that turning towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was so beloved to Allah. And of course, he was a martyr, he was a shaheed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala preserved his body, and hence they buried him. Some narration state they took him to Medina Munawwara, be that as it may. But brothers and friends, we find this relationship that Sahaba had with their salat. Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is another example for us as an ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, returning from a journey with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of jihad. They were being pursued by the enemy. They come to a particular place. Sayyidina Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who would stand guard? Two sahaba, Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir and Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, volunteer. Abbad ibn Bishr himself says that when we went out to guard, I saw Ammar was very tired, he was fatigued. Remember, they've been fighting for days. So I said to him, my brother, you rest, and I will keep guard for the first part of the night. And what does he do? Sahabi is a Sahabi. About Abbad ibn Bishr, it has been narrated that he had such a love for the Quran that was indescribable. And he starts a two rakat salat. And he's performing this two rakat salat. In one narration, it was Surah Al-Kahf. The enemy spot him and they shoot towards him. The arrow penetrates the leg of Sayyidina Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But that does not deter him. He's a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He continues his salat till he completes the surah. Friends, what is this? It is that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. It is that type of khashiyat, the type of awe that they have in the salah, that concentration that they have. Allah give us the tawfiq. But friends, each and every one of us, we need to assess our situation with our salat. Are we performing our 5 times salat on time? If we are, what is the condition of my salat? Is it as my Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired it or not? Khalad bin Rafi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was an early sahabi, he is a Badri sahabi. Regarding him, it has been narrated that he enters Masjid al-Nabawi on one occasion and he performs two rakat salat. And then as he's leaving, he sees our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Khalad, irji fa salli, fa innaka lam tusalli. Sahabi, but you have not performed salat, go and read your namaz again. He goes back, he performs salat in the narration 2 or 3 times. This incident happens that he makes salam to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Rasul responds and he says, Khalad, go back and perform your salat because you have not performed your salat. Then he asks Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how should I perform my salat? The gist of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's description is that you take time in the postures of the salat. One is we stand, we read Surah Fatiha, we read a surah, read it with dignity. These are the words of Allah. Read it in a way that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes pleased. We go into ruku, make the ruku in a way that we take a little bit of time. A 2 minute salat and a 3 minute salat, that 1 minute, we will find the difference in that salat. Take our time when we go into ruku, subhana rabbiyal azim. When we go into sajda, subhana rabbiyal ala. After the ruku, when we stand in the qawma, Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd, rabbana walakal hamd. Between the 2 sajdas, take a few seconds extra. And friends, we will see that connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We will see now what is the meaning of salah. Ulama have written the word salah itself comes from the word salatun or silatun, which means a connection, a relationship. And that is what salat is meant for us to create that relationship with Allah. So we began with the fact that Allah had bestowed upon this ummah a great gift on the Mi'raj, and this great gift is salah. Friends, let us value this gift. It is a royal gift that Allah has given to every ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us value it, and we will see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help, Allah's nusrat, and our relationship with Allah ta'ala will increase. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.